Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to a familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us today are believers in Christ, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. In 1920, the little story became famous called The Little Engine That Could. You remember this. I've told you a little bit about it. And in the story, the little engine was working in the little train yard, and they needed an engine to carry all the cars of presents to go over the mountain. They asked the big freighter, the big huge engine that carries all the freight, "Can you do it?" He said, "I'm tied up, I'm busy." They asked the one that pulled the people, the streamlined big engine that pulled the fast cars. They said, "I can't do it." And they went to the little engine that just was used to switch cars in the yard. If you know what I'm talking about, in a train yard, from one track to the other. They said, "Can you do it?" He said, "Well, I think I can." And he hooked up to that big line of train cars, and as the story goes, he said, "What? I think I can." Say it with me. "I think I can. I think I can." So anyway, well, he got up to the top, and he went over the other side, and one version of it says, I knew I could, but anyway, he got him to the other side. Well, we have been in a series of summer messages called You Can, entitled You Can Be a Witness. You can be a witness. It is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ for every believer to do the work of an evangelist, to share Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this is the final message of this, and I've had some great help with Brandon teaching on one of the topics, and Kurt Shiver last week on a topic, and they've done a fantastic job. But it's all about the idea of cultivate. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of principles. One is, the first one is, evangelism is a process. Say the word process. Evangelism is a process. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says this, Paul says, I planted, Apollos did what? He watered. Who gave the increase? Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So the first principle is evangelism is a process. It is the idea of bearing fruit. It's like a harvest. Some of y'all are farmers, or you've been farmers, or you've been gardeners. You know how things grow? Well, it takes a process of soil cultivation, and you plant a seed, and then the seed has to be cultivated. God uses the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is what God uses to save souls. Amen? You've got to get the Word of God shared, okay? It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. the Bible says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the first principle is evangelism is a what? Process, all right? That's kind of weak. This is my last shot at you. Y'all got to get this, okay? Evangelism is a what? Okay, thank you, man. That was great. And then who's responsible for the results? God, okay? Now, if you have an acrostic written in the flyleaf of your Bible, the acrostic is the word cultivate. Evangelism, we cultivate evangelism in the lives of those that we care about, those that we want to share with. And so the C stands for communication with God, prayer. The U stands for understand the world. The L stands for listen with love. You listen for the felt needs that people have, but you also know they have a need they might not even understand, and that is the need for Christ. So just because someone has a felt need and they say, well, I don't really need Christ, doesn't mean they don't need Christ, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So people need Christ. So we're listening for ways and opportunities that we have to share with them. And then the T in the word cultivate, in the acrostic cultivate, is talk versus walk. We need both wings of an airplane, and the two wings in evangelism are the talking, the sharing of the gospel, and then the walking, living it out. And then the I is really the crux of the cultivative evangelism process, and that stands for invest in common ground. And then the V, value the person. Jesus said a person leaves the 99, a shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. God values the lost. God loves the lost, and he gave us that in three parables, the lost son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep, to demonstrate to us how he values people. Aren't you glad Jesus values people? I'm so glad people came after me. Some people got it on their heart that a little red-headed boy needed Christ, and they came after me. They came after me because they had the heart of Jesus. We value the person. The A in the word cultivate stands for answer the questions. The T is what Kurt shared with us last week, and that is to tell the truth. We've got to share the gospel. If you don't share the gospel, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. We need not only to walk it out, but we need to speak it out as well. The Bible says, how shall they know him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And the word preacher there is not talking about someone like what I'm doing now preaching. It's talking about a sharer of the gospel. How are people going to know about it unless we tell the truth? Well, here's the last one, all right? Here's the E, and we're going to do this quickly. Equip for spiritual growth. We are going to cultivate by equipping, all right? We've been cultivating in every other way, through prayer, through investing in common ground, through listening, through understanding the world, valuing the person, answering their questions, but we've got to equip for spiritual growth. The principle is this: the faithful witness must intentionally challenge every convert towards spiritual maturity. Now, church family, I want you to look at me real closely. I want to say something that is super important in the life of our church. We do not simply make decisions. We make disciples. Amen? Somebody says, well, I made my decision for Christ. That's great. I did too. But that's just the beginning. The Lord has called us. Go therefore in our text. Let me go ahead and read this. I want you to look at this text. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we are called to make disciples. We are called not just to make decisions, but we're called to make disciples. I'm so proud of these children that got up here today to quote Scripture. They have given their life to Jesus Christ, but you know what we do? We have a children's discipleship program. We have an intentional program to try to teach them discipleship and what it means to grow as a young believer in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for these parents that have put their kids in this. And if you have elementary kids, and if you know someone that needs a church family where we major on children, elementary children, to understand the gospel, you've come to the right place, because we're not just trying to make decisions. We're trying to make disciples. And Jesus said, go and make disciples. So I got four quick things I want to tell you. Number one, Jesus gave us the challenge to make disciples. Now, when you read this text, it says, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and then it says teaching. You see the word go, you see the word baptize, you see the word teaching. It appears that those are the imperatives there. But can I tell you this? The real imperative of this text, if you write in your Bible, and everybody doesn't do that, so don't do it if you don't do it. But I tend to make little notes in my Bible. Circle the phrase, make disciples. Technically, in the Greek language, that's the only imperative in that text. Now, the other words are important because they come off of that imperative, which gives them an imperative oomph in the command there. But here's the imperative of that text, to make disciples. Church, if anybody ever asks you, what is the purpose of North Central? Your answer is, we exist to make disciples of all people. That is the only commission Jesus has given us, is to make disciples. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So the imperative is to make disciples. The word disciple there is a learner, a pupil. When you get saved, you become a learner. You're in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you lead someone in the sinner's prayer of salvation, but your goal is to disciple them so that they might become a learner and a follower of Jesus. D.A. Carson is a tremendous Greek scholar. He's written many, many books, commentaries particularly. He's one of my favorite authors. He says this. He says, disciples are those who hear, understand, and obey Jesus' teachings. So if you are going to be a disciple of Jesus, you hear his teachings, you understand his teachings, and you determine to obey his teachings. That's what it means to be a disciple, and that's what we're challenged to do. He says, make a disciples of all nations. Now, years ago, there was a guy named Ralph Winter. You may know that name, you may not know that name, but Ralph Winter was a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, and in 1973, way back, 1973, Billy Graham had what was known as the Lausanne Conference in Switzerland, and it was an evangelism, it was a global evangelism conference. Ralph Winter presented a paper at that conference where he says, the phrase of all the nations, it's the Greek words panta ta ethne. What that means is people groups. How many of you ever heard somebody talk about the people groups of the world? Raise your hand. Okay, it's kind of a well-known thing now. Well, a lot of times we say make disciples of all the nations. We think geography. We need a missionary in every nation. That's true, we do. That'll help. But you know, in many nations, there are multiple languages and there are multiple ethnic groups. Really what Jesus was saying is, make disciples of every people group there is in the world. That's why, what a blessing it is that we have our international ministry, and we have Brother Craig Olive, who's with Global Connections, who helps us, and we've got our an international Bible study here that Howie and Nance Kaufman teach, and we're so grateful for that. God has brought us the world. God has brought us people groups here to the University of Florida and Santa Fe College, and we have an opportunity as a church. We need to provide the gospel for every people group. That's one of the reasons that at the beginning of the message, I always say, we have all kinds of people here, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, that's that phrase, ethne, every people group is welcomed at North Central. Amen? That's a little weak. Every people group is welcome at North Central. Amen?
Amen.
There you go. I love it. All right. Well, I just want you to know Jesus gave us that challenge, all right, to make disciples. Number two, Jesus said we make disciples by going. We are to go. And it really means as you are going. As you are going, you make disciples. August the 23rd on a Saturday morning, we're going to do some going. But we're not just doing going on August the 23rd. We're going to tell the message of Christ at work as we recreate, as we participate in hobbies. Some of you guys like to fish. If you like to fish, find somebody who needs Christ, take them fishing. Some of you guys like to golf. I love to golf because I love the scenery. You know, all the beautiful woods. I played golf one time with Will Frazier, hit the ball straight as an arrow, 300 yards on a drive. I hit mine sideways. I said, man, that's so boring to go straight. Come over here with me and you see the azaleas. But some of you like to play golf. Play golf with somebody that needs Christ, okay? So as you are going, as you live your life, we are to be going. Church family, a church is to be a going entity. We're called to be in motion. We don't stay still. This church has been a going church. Man, I tell you, aggressive programs and ministry for all multi-generations in this place. We got stuff for our preschoolers. We got stuff for our elementary, for our young people, for our college students. I'm thankful that our church has been a going church, a church that's never been satisfied with where they are, but always reaching more. I'm thankful because when I was a student at UF, I came to North Central Baptist Church, and it made a huge impact in my life. There are people that are still here that impacted me when I was a college kid, and now I'm their pastor. That's a very unusual deal, but it is a blessing to me. It means the world to me. We have a legacy of being a going church. We're going to celebrate that on November the 16th, 9 decades of taking the gospel to the world, a going place. But we are to reach out into our neighboring communities to share the gospel. We are to reach out in the world we're in to share the gospel and to cultivate the gospel. Now, we know that it's not up to us to win people to Christ. It's just up to us to deliver the message. You're like the postman. You're just delivering the mail. When you get a bill you don't like, you don't go out and beat up the postman, do you? He just delivered the message. Your bone of contention is with Cox Cable. I'm just kidding. I know. But anyway, your bone of contention is with GRU. But anyway, the point is, you don't beat up the mailman. Well, guess what? You're delivering the message. If they've got a problem with the message, they take it up with the Lord. So we are to go. We're to be people in motion. Church family, if you've ever thought about working in Awana, you've ever thought about working with young people, you've ever thought about going on a mission trip, hey, we're headed to Cuba. You need to get a passport. Patrick's always reminded me, tell people to get their passport. We go in January. You're almost too late. You need to get a passport. It takes about 6 or 8 weeks to get a passport. And then by that time, we'll be needing to put our team together. But man, what an opportunity. Have you ever thought about something like that? You need to do it. Jesus said, go. We're to be in motion. Amen? All right. Number three. Jesus gave us the challenge to make disciples. We make disciples by going. The third thing is Jesus said we make disciples by baptizing. Baptism identifies you with Christ. It shows a picture of salvation. He says he baptizing them. He uses a word in this text that changes from people groups to individuals. We baptize individuals. Now, many times they come in waves, maybe friends or a family, but we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize individuals in that way. We baptize in the name, declaring the allegiance to, associating with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how do we make disciples? We make disciples by going. We make disciples by baptizing. By the way, under this stage, I know you've seen it because we've been baptizing, but we have a baptistry. In a lot of churches, you see the baptistry. Some churches get out a big old feeding trough and fill it up with water. That's great too, but you don't always see the baptistry. Well, that baptistry is a glorified jacuzzi. That thing's got warm water. People ask me, they say, hey, is the water, I'm going to be baptized, is the water warm? I say, no, we actually put ice in it. We want it to cost you something to get baptized. No, I'm kidding. No, it's warm. It's warm, okay? It's wonderful. So we make disciples by going, by baptizing. Here's the last thing. We make disciples by teaching, okay? The first 24 hours of a brand new baby's life are the most crucial. I remember when our kids were born, I don't know how they do it now, but I remember they were born and Kelly was holding the baby. Well, then they come and get the baby and they do all kinds of stuff to the baby. Man, they're making sure the baby's okay. They put this ointment and they went like that on their eyes. I'm like, why'd you stick that in their eyes? And then they do all kinds of little tests here and there, and they're poking and prodding. What are they doing? They're trying to make sure everything's okay, because the first 24 hours of a brand new baby's life really can tells the story. It's the most important time. You know, the most important time in an airline flight is the takeoff and the landing. Normally, if it gets up in the sky and it's traveling, you don't have a lot of those that just crash from flying. But it's the takeoff that's the questionable thing. So it's important that we do immediate follow-up. If you're writing notes, I want you to write down five words. This is my little plan for immediate follow-up. That means if you lead somebody to Christ, you do this immediately. Right then, when you lead them to Christ, you talk to them about these things: Bible, prayer, fellowship, worship, and witness. Talk to them about the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? You need God's Word, and you teach people the importance of a daily time with the Lord. One of our research groups did a study, and they found that in many churches, only about 19%, I pray that it's a higher percentage in our church, but only 19% of folks have a daily set-aside time to read the Bible. Folks, listen, I love preaching to you, but if you're only getting what I'm giving you, and I'm trying to serve up a good deal, okay? I'm trying to give you a T-bone steak, but if all you're getting is from me, no, that's not enough. You need a daily time with Jesus Christ yourself in the Word of God. And all of our new believers need that. So Bible, I tell people to read the book of John. There's 21 chapters in the book of John. I say, now you read a chapter a day, and you get out a pad and write down any questions you have about chapter 1, then chapter 2. And then I make a 7-day appointment with them. 1 week from the time I lead them to Christ, I meet them exactly at that time the next week. I say, can we meet a week from today? And I want to talk to you about what you've learned from God's Word. You try to encourage him. So the Bible, prayer, the importance of prayer. Fellowship, we need each other. The Christian life, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Okay? We need one another. We're about to have the Lord's Supper together, folks. We are interdependent upon one another as a family. That's why you do baptism and the Lord's Supper as a church family. You don't take the Lord's Supper when you're on vacation with somebody. You take the Lord's Supper as in a local body of believers, because there's an interdependence upon one another in that accountable relationship as a church family. It's a beautiful thing. So you're teaching. So Bible, prayer, fellowship, worship. We need to worship the Lord. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day to worship. And then witness. I say to someone who gives their heart to Christ, I tell them, is there somebody you can call right now today and tell them that you gave your life to Christ? They said, yeah. A lot of times they'll say, yeah, I want to call my mom. My mom's been praying for me. Or I want to call my brother. I'll call a coworker. And I'll say to them, if you call them and tell them that you have given your life to Christ, you're being a witness. What does a witness do? A witness just tells what he saw. There was a wreck out here on 23rd, and you saw it. The officer would say, hey, what did you see? They're not asking you to make anything up. You don't have to be an expert on cars. You just say, that guy in that red car ran slap into that guy in that gray car. Is that what you saw? Yes. Well, guess what you are? You're a witness. So a witness as a new believer is someone saying, hey, I gave my life to Jesus today. That's a witness. So those are the basics of immediate follow-up: Bible, prayer, fellowship, worship, and witness. We must teach the convert to spend time with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer and worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping, and being a witness for Jesus Christ. I have a little book here called Growing in Christ. We have these in our office. If you will take someone through this, we'll pay for it. Now, don't storm the office when this service is over. I don't know how many we've got over there. But in all seriousness, this is a basics course of what it means to follow Jesus. One day I was preaching in here, and a gentleman came up to me. He said, man, I need to grow in my relationship with Christ. So there were several men, about six or eight men, and I began to meet on Wednesday nights. We still do that. We have some meetings on Wednesday night. And we went through all of this material together. There's scripture memory in it. This is produced by the Navigators. There are so many great tools out there, but this is the one that to me has just been around for a long, long time. It is a blessing, and I want you to know we have it. Now, if you're willing to go through it with another person, you let us know and we'll get you the copies that you need, okay? Because that is a important truth, okay? That's why we have that material. That's why we have the children's discipleship. God uses the life group ministry. God uses our worship service. God uses the service opportunities that we have. So all of this is a part of what it means to cultivate a witness in somebody's heart. But church family, we've got to equip. We've got to equip for spiritual growth. We've got to equip for multiplication.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.